and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am one of your hosts, and I am here with...
Okay. And we are here to talk about the conclusion, question mark, to one of the seminal series of our generation, John Wick. We discussed the first three many moons ago.
It was our seventh episode of the show that we
of all time.
Our seventh episode. Episode returning
to our roots here, for sure. It's funny how little I remember of those movies, but also how much I remember recording that episode.
That's funny.
I feel like I
don't
remember,
I
don't remember what the movie, I remember like parts of the movies, but I watched two recaps.
Okay.
Before this.
I didn't watch any recaps. I went into it just.
It was so helpful because I forgot everything. Like, excommunicado, completely forgot that that was even, like, a
I forgot until they said it, and I was like, right, that's right.
Because I remember us making fun of that word
in
the episode, like, because it was just such, it's such a weird
word. Well, all of it is weird, the whole thing.
The whole thing. The whole thing is a little fan fiction, like,
I don't know,
weird,
it's
like,
a vibe.
World
I just was thinking, like, man, I kind of want to be a criminal in this criminal underworld. Like, it seems like a fun vibe, but I would want to do like be the hotel manager or something like that.
Or the I would just be a concierge. I would be, the hotel manager is a little too much responsibility. I feel like I could like keep the place nice, eavesdrop on some conversations in the lobby.
Sure.
And that would be it. Before we talk about this action thriller saga, let's jump into last week's question of the week, which we talked last week about our top 10 movies of the decade so far, none of which are John Wick movies because none of them have come out this decade.
Except this one.
Except now there is. And we asked everyone what their favorite movie of the decade so far was. So let's get into it. What do we have on, are we on Instagram first or Spotify?
I have Spotify open. Noah
All right,
Hewitt
what's on Spotify?
Said The Batman.
To a movie that was also on both of our lists. So
Batman!
Batman. Cool. Like it. That's a good choice. On Instagram, we've got another one that was on my list. Bryce said Bo Burnham's Inside. So that's on brand, I think. For him.
Yeah, people
that seems,
are.
That seems like a good one.
That seems like a very Bryce movie to me. Hunter said Mitchells versus the Machines, which is one that I didn't like as much, but I think this is a fun one to have as your favorite because I think it's worthy of the spot for sure. Like, I do think it's a unique animation. It wasn't my favorite, but
yeah, it's definitely one I would. Not opposed to being on someone's list. Like, I can definitely understand why it would be there. You know what I'm saying? Zach Smith Michaels said Promising Young Women, which was in 2020, so right at the beginning of the decade.
Yes. And it still has
this is
carried
a this
far.
It well, has it?
Has it?
Or has it? Only, I feel like, I'm not going to lie.
For Zach.
He's the only one I've seen that has watched it a lot.
Or
like,
watched
since
it
the
since.
Oscars. Or watched it
at
all
since
the Oscars.
Since that. When it came out. I mean, the only time I ever saw it was when it came out, so.
Yeah, you never even rewatched it?
Nope.
Right?
I did not.
Wow,
I watched it.
I have seen it twice, and I don't think I'll watch it
one
again.
One and done.
But I did watch it twice.
I probably won't ever watch it again. I liked it when I saw it in the theater.
You did like it when you saw it, but what would you think if you watched it again is the real
question. I probably would not like it as much if I watched it now.
That's
I
why
probably
you just
got to
keep it pure.
Yeah, I would probably like, well, pure is maybe not the word I would use.
Well, just keep the experience in your mind.
Like, yeah,
like one of happiness.
I don't like,
and, like
watching
excitement.
Movies that have discourse surrounding them because I feel like it just invades and permeates my mindscape when I'm trying to watch the movie. So
maybe when you're like 80 years old and you don't remember what the discourse is. Then you can.
Yes.
Like, and then it will be like, it's like you can watch it again with a pure mind.
Sure.
We got Mike. who just said, I like movies. And you know what? That's a great point.
Valid. 100%.
And some people just can't pick favorites. And he's like, I just like watching movies. And that's true.
I like movies.
Yeah.
And then Mr. El Guapo said, this question gives me so much anxiety and I can't answer because of it, which is also very valid. Agree.
We're going to answer for Mr. El Guapo then. Their favorite movie of the decade so far is...
It's definitely a Hallmark movie.
Is it?
Yeah, because they're my Hallmark friend.
No, I'm just saying like a funny answer we could give them.
Yeah, I know. So I was going to say like, pick a Hallmark movie.
I was saying like
movie.
Something funny.
Like a Hallmark movie.
No, but I was trying to think of like something that would be embarrassing that would be your favorite movie of the decade. Like the DC Super Pets. League of the Super Pets.
Oh, okay.
You know, that could be... Or... Legends of Fury, Secrets of the Paws.
So you're just right? going with the like animated.
I don't know. I was just saying, what the
dog
well,
movies.
Those are some two embarrassing. The first two embarrassing movies I can think of.
I mean, if I were to pull a movie out of my ass, it would be like A Kismet Christmas, like 2022.
Wow, that was pretty bad.
Hallmark. That one was one of the more decent ones, actually.
What about like the? Did you watch that Hallmark one last year? Like the Holly one. That one was. Garbage.
I did not. The Lacey Chabert one. I didn't watch
that one. Was really bad. True. That was awful. Apologies to anyone who had to sit through that. Thanks for everyone that wrote in. We'll have another question at the end of this. Probably more about a John Wick related question. So stay tuned for that. But let's get into discussing the fourth entry in the John Wick saga. Now it is not a trilogy. It is officially a saga. I feel like,
who
just personally,
would have thought?
John Wick 3, they really messed up on, because it is the only one with a subtitle. And I just think, like, if you have a subtitle, you gotta go, like, all of the ones after number one has to have a subtitle. It just feels a little weird. Like, they don't have a subtitle, but then John Wick 3 is, like, also Parabellum is also part of this title now. I think that was a mistake. That was a trip up by them. Yeah. This is a very much a longer movie than the others. So John Wick, I didn't even realize, was less than 2 hours until I saw this. I remembered. John Wick 2, just 2 hours. John Wick 3, just 2 hours and 10. This one jumps it all the way up to like almost 2 hours and 50 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's
like
it was
pretty significant.
A long movie, for sure. I did not realize it was going to be as long as it was. I must have seen it on Twitter, but I feel like I kind of just missed the memo or went in one ear and out the other. And so then when I was planning to go see it, I was like, oh, man, I have to make like a 4-hour block in my day just to go see this movie, to like drive to the theater, sit down, see it, drive back. Like, that's a lot of time to put aside for one movie.
Yeah, I think I wasn't like I was surprised, because I feel like a lot of movies recently have been a little bit longer. Oh, wait, my input's like really high. Have been a little bit longer. And so something I guess I'm more used to. And it's also, I knew it was going to be like a big entry. I wasn't sure at the time, and we'll talk about this, I guess. But I wasn't sure at the time if it was going to be like the final one. But I knew it was going to be like a pretty big one. So I guess it makes sense. One thing with the runtime, though, that's kind of impressive. You put in here the document an interesting kill count statistic.
I did.
Which I think kind of speaks to the impressiveness of the intensity of this movie. So what are these statistics you have here?
Yeah, so in the previous movies, I should have written down the kill count for each movie, but in the first movie he killed like 77 people, I think. And okay. His
weak.
Weak. So his kills per second was 1 minute every 18 seconds he killed someone was his kill average. And then in the second one, that one at the time between the three was the highest kill count. I think it was like around 100 something, was 57 seconds. And then in John Wick 3, it was 1:23. So it had averaged 1:11 in the first three. And this one, when I was watching it, I was like, he is killing a lot of people. The bodies are dropping. And so someone...
The bodies are widowy, dwopping on the ground.
They're little-y, hitting the ground. I saw this on Twitter. Someone said that they counted each of his kills in the theater. So I'm going to trust that this is right.
We're trusting.
But they said the kill count was 140. Which makes sense. Because, well, at first I was like, well, I feel like it was more. But then I remembered, like, half the time he was killing people, there was also someone else fighting alongside him. So, like...
Well, and also I think there's a decent amount of, like, parts between the killing, too, in this movie. Like, there's some expository scenes, I feel like, more than in the other movies, too.
Yeah, and a lot of the fights in this are... I mean, not realistic, but, like, more so, like, he fights with one person for a longer time than if he's just, like, headshotting every single person. So it feels like more, but I feel like this is a pretty, like, this 140 makes sense. So that's a total of 339 kills between all four movies.
I could do that. Give or take a few, maybe. So that makes this average, like, about a minute, 12 seconds, which is the most... besides chapter two. So it goes chapter two, chapter four, chapter one, chapter three would be like the
from yeah, and that's crazy for how long this movie is too.
Exactly. Yeah, like this one is significantly longer, and it is the second most kills per second.
I'm sure once someone has more time, average. There's people who make like graphs of all these, like how many people are killed in each scene, how many are headshots, how many like gunshots John took, and how many actually hit someone. Like there's people who make all these infographics, which I find very funny.
I'll like reading them, but I would hate to make them. That seems like really boring.
I am not the person. I get too distracted, so I would like start counting them, and then I'd be like, oh shit, and then have to like
I know. I would be like, guess I gotta go to the movie again, guess I gotta go back to the I can't believe someone already counted. Like,
I'm not surprised.
Does that mean it was their first time, or like
they probably went and saw it again? I mean, like, if you saw it once and then you were like, oh cool, and then you went back again, and the only thing you did was, like, make a tally mark every time killed someone. I mean, I could do that.
What I would do, instead of a tally mark, I would have one of the things on my phone, you know, where, like, you could plus and minus. Not a calculator, but, like,
or
you can, like, increase
the number. Or just get one of those clickers where you just
click, clicker, click, exactly.
Click, 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 every single time John, click, like, kills click. Someone.
Yeah, because I feel like if I was doing a tally, it'd be, like, I'd lose my place of where I was in the tally, and then I'd be making tallies, like, over tallies, and I would get mess up. Just feel like that's a pretty cool detail. But now let's just get into the review. You know, we're going to go spoiler-free, which in this movie, I guess more so than the others, it does kind of matter, I guess, for like the third act, some of the spoilers. But there's, I bet the majority of stuff we can talk about, or we're going to want to talk about, is going to be spoiler-free. So should be able to cover a lot in this. Do you want to give a summary here of this movie? I feel like this movie, it's like, the plot will, I mean, if you don't understand the plot, then there's probably going to be, like, if you haven't seen any of the other movies, then there's going to be, like, a lot of the plot that you don't understand. But I feel like you still will enjoy it, or enjoy it for the same reasons that they want you to enjoy it. But the plot does, like, matter. So do you want to read this summary I found here from good old Google? We should start getting our plot summaries from, like, the chat GPT and, like, make a summary of John Wick 4 for our funny podcast, and they can make a summary.
We
should start doing that. AI-generated plot summaries.
I think we should. Really, here's the summary of John Wick 4. With the price on his head ever increasing, legendary hitman John Wick takes his fight against the high table global as he seeks out the most powerful players in the underworld, from New York to Paris to Japan to Berlin.
This
could
like
be any of the movies.
Summary.
It could literally be
this
any
could
of the
be.
Movies.
Yeah, any of them, like 2, 3, or 4, this could be most of the movies.
I genuinely...
Yeah, this is just what it is.
I did not watch a trailer for this. I did not read a summary of what the plot would be. I just went into it and said, let's see what happens. and I felt like it was fairly easy to pick up. There were a couple things in the beginning that I kind of was like, it would help to have subtitles. Just so I could like more process some of the stuff, like when they're using all the stuff talking about the high table and all that, Like, it's hard for me to auditorily process some of those things where it's like lore of the continental.
Yeah, but I feel like the lore is like all stuff that we've seen in other things a lot of times. So like, we understand the basic rules of like how those kind of things work usually.
Yeah. So once I was like 15 minutes into the movie, 20 minutes, I was pretty set. But the first few minutes, I was like playing catch up a little bit. I guess spoiler free thoughts. Do you have
me to go or
yeah?
Okay, sure. Yeah. So if you, for those of us, you probably most of you haven't listened to our other episode. So neither of us were huge like mega fans of these the first three movies. I think I looked at my letterbox, like I gave the first one like a 5 out of 10, and then 2 and 3 I both gave 6 out of 10s. Though I remember, I think that I said I liked 2 more. So that's what I was going in. I feel like I was, what my expectations were, I wasn't expecting to really love it, honestly, if I'm being totally honest. I feel like a lot of these movies, I get really bored during, or like I can really lose track of what's going on pretty easily because I'm not, they don't really invest you in the story much, which is just because like that's not really as much what the movie's about. It's more about like the set pieces and the choreography and like the overall narrative, I guess. So like as you can look at the four movies, it is like a pretty epic like mythological tale. So it's like invested in making that, but I don't think it's trying to make the characters very like the kind of characters that you're going to be able to like emotionally grasp onto for most of the time. And so a lot of these movies, at least the first three, that was my thing. I was like, I felt like I liked the choreography, but everything in between, I was like, this is really boring. And I feel like I could have just watched like a YouTube compilation of like best John Wick kills. And I would have been happy. So I went to this movie, not super excited, but I did like some of the cinematography stuff and the choreography. I would say overall, this is my favorite one of the four, definitely. Everything is bigger, like we kind of been saying, like it's all just like everything of the other movies and like amping it all up, which is interesting because that feels like that's what all of these movies have done, is each one has gotten bigger, but this one is significantly wider scope, I think. And that goes all the way down to like even how they frame the shots, I think, and the locations that they choose to have their fight scenes. Like, it's just all on a bigger scale. And so I think it makes a lot of that stuff seem even more engaging than it already was, because like even beyond the choreography, the set pieces too are so cool sometimes, where it's like that's even part of the fight, is seeing how they are going to move around this room and do all that stuff. I think the narrative was probably one of the more engaging ones, not, as we'll say, like, not anything that John Wick did, but I actually really was invested in some of the more like the side characters or like the villains story, or quote-unquote villain, we'll talk about it, but I thought like their stuff was pretty interesting. So even though it wasn't a super memorable like narrative for me, like it was one of the more invested in the narrative I've been in, or at least like I knew what was going on a scene-to-scene basis, which was more than I can say for some of them. On an overall scale, I would say like generally I did like it more. It still wasn't like mind-blowing to me. I still got bored in a lot of parts, and there were still parts where I was like, I feel like I'm just like waiting for the every action scene, and everything between the action scenes is kind of like, all right, this is kind of interesting, but I'm not really like that invested right now. So I still had a little bit of the same issues I had with the other three, but definitely lessened. And I think that had to do as well with like the more finality that this movie had too. Like, it felt like the narrative was more crucial to the story. What did you think about the fourth John Wick movie?
The fourth John Wick. I really liked it, surprisingly, because I wasn't particularly fond of the first three. Like, I don't have anything against them, and I don't dislike them, but it's not like a series or franchise that I'm jumping to revisit, or as they make new content, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to go see that. Like, even with this one, I kind of was not. So I wasn't expecting or particularly anticipating this movie by any means. I remember seeing some of the photos on, like, Twitter and thinking it looked like it would probably be kind of cool looking. But I think it kind of like exceeded every expectation that I had for it. I thought the fight sequences were really cool. I mean, they always are, so that's like nothing new. I thought, like, I mean, the opening sequence was pretty cool. Like, it opened with him, I feel like this isn't a spoiler,
punching the thing, right?
And then Lawrence Fishburne, like, coming in and opening the door and all that.
And Keanu Reeves' first line is, first line of the movie.
You know, they did it on purpose. But that, I thought that opening scene was really good. And, like, it hooked you in right away. And it was kind of at that point when it started. Because, when I went in to see it, I was like, all right, 3 hours. Like, let's see how this goes. Like, hopefully it's fine. I don't know. Like, at that point, like, in those first 2 minutes where it had that opening scene, I was like, wait a second. Is this going to be a real movie? Like, is this going to be good? Is this actually going to be fire? I don't know. And so I kind of was like pulled in right away with that opening scene. And then from there, because it just surprised me, because I don't remember a whole lot about the other ones apart from John Wick, like killing people, but they never particularly like caught me off guard with how like unique or brilliant the actual like film aspect of it was. Like, I had never, like, I'm not looking at one of the John Wick movies and being like, wow, like, that was really well made, like, in the context of the camera movement or the cinematography or anything like that. Yeah. Like, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, wow, that's choreographed really well, the stunts were really awesome, stuff like that. But this was the first time that I remember watching one of these and being like, wow, that's actually good filmmaking. And then I was also thinking,
I agree, there was some really cool camera stuff in this movie for sure.
And I think it was cool that like I felt like it wasn't just another regular action movie that had cool sequences. Like, I felt like it was actually doing things that were intentionally good filmmaking. Like, I thought the cinematography was really cool and the like lighting and stuff. I thought some of the like camera movements and blocking was really cool. We can talk about, I mean, I don't know if it would be a spoiler, but there's like, I mean, there's a billion fight sequences in this movie, so it is what it is. But there's one where it's like an aerial shot, like one shot.
Yeah, that one was awesome.
And that shot was so cool. I would love to see the behind the scenes of that, because like,
same.
Even if they do have cuts in it, which I'm assuming they have one or two cuts, and you can kind of see like where they might cut it, just the blocking of that in general, shooting above and then having that
building the set,
and then but having that seamless like transition,
crazy
as he's like moving between the rooms, like killing people, crazy. I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And they did other scenes, but that was definitely like the coolest shot one. But like, I don't know, I just thought all around it really surprised me, because I was 100% not expecting this to be a movie that like I thought, like, I was expecting it to be a movie that would be like a fun time, but I wasn't expecting to come away from it being like thinking it was a good like film. Like, thinking it was a film. A movie actually was
a
movie.
A real movie. Yeah, a movie that felt like a movie?
A movie that felt like a movie. But it really did. Like, I know that we joke about that, but, like, it didn't feel like just another blockbuster. Like, it felt like there was more to it, which, and I was thinking, like, man, could you imagine if, like, Marvel did this?
Never.
No, they couldn't.
We're done.
They would never, but
superhero movies are done. They're over. No one wants them anymore.
Well, and I think watching something like this made me, like, really think that. Because it's, like, whether or not this has, I mean, it made a decent amount of money this weekend, but not nearly as much as I think it probably should have. But whether or not, like, whatever, I just think that, like, this is the kind of movie I would much rather see. Because
well,
it felt like
Creed has the highest gross of its series. Scream 6 has the highest gross of the series. So I just feel like just other movies are dominating the box office now instead of superhero movies. And you have Shazam 2, and you have What's-His-Face crying on Instagram because no one's seeing Shazam 2. I feel like that's a pretty telltale sign. Zachary Levi,
he was crying on Instagram.
Well, yeah, because he was like, you know, you guys, if you want to see John Wick 4, go for it. But you know what I'm going to say? John Wick 4 isn't a family movie. And so if you want something to see with the family, he was like, it's not like he was holding back tears.
Shazam 2 as a family movie? Sorry, that's like... Well, if you want maybe it's a family movie if that you weren't bring, anti-vax, Zachary Levi.
That you bring the kids to and you want to bring your girlfriend to.
Who's bringing
maybe you should go. I don't know. It was really funny. And so I just think that's
it,
a pretty.
Or look at whatever it is.
It was great. There was some of it that was obviously edited, like the second half of the clip. But the first half of the clip is all unedited. And it's
that's
just
so funny.
I just like more like in his voice, you can tell he knows he's like he's screwed. And it's just a
well,
it's just
no one
pretty,
wanted
really
to see
funny.
This movie anyways. Anyway.
No, because it looks terrible.
That's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Is like, I feel like those movies are so machine generated. Like, they feel like just a crap show of, okay, well, what can we do now? Like, they feel like something that is almost made by an AI. Like, there's nothing behind it. But then something like John Wick, which... I never thought that this would phrase would come out of my mouth, but it felt like there was heart behind it. Like, you watch it and you can be like, I can see how much the people in this care about the movie. I can see how much the people who made this care about the movie. Mm. Like, I felt that when I was watching it, because they easily could have done any other stupid fight sequence. But it's the fact that, like, the effort they went to make the fight sequence a certain way. Like, I don't know. It just felt like the movie...
Well, you can see the craftsmanship so much better. Like, you can see, like, it feels like real people are making a movie or, like, behind the decisions of the movie.
Yeah,
like, they're making real decisions.
It felt like they were making the movie because they wanted to make it. Not because of, like, these studios, like, with the Marvel movies that it feels like... They're just generated for money or for whatever, so that they have more things for their theme park, or they can add whatever hero or add on to phase 5 and 6 and 7 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It felt like it actually meant something, which obviously
I agree,
is the kind of movie that I would much rather see any day of the week in the theater over. I mean, even though we see the Marvel movies and we like some of the Marvel movies, like, I would still pick to go see this in the theater any day over any of the recent Marvel movies.
I would much rather watch this than, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp or...
Yeah, and I mean,
like,
I thought
Black Panther
Ant-Man
3,
and Wasp was
2,
fine,
sorry,
but...
whoops.
But, like, this, if I could choose between the two, I would hands down pick this any day of the week.
Any day of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Yeah, even Sunday.
All 7.
Even Sunday.
Even the Lord's Day.
Even the Sabbath, I would pick to watch John Wick 4.
Even he's widowy-gwittying on the Sabbath.
Widowy-gwittying on the Sabbath.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a great point. Is even, like I said, if I didn't love every moment of the movie, I think I was definitely could appreciate the level of craft they were willing to go to, and like just like the decisions that they were making. There was a lot of cool, even just like coloring choices. I think we talked about this with the first ones, but with every movie, it's felt like they've like increased the color palette a little bit. Like, the first one was so blue, and then I feel like the second one was like blue and red. Then they introduced some like oranges and purples, and then this one is just like lots of colors, like all the colors.
There's
basically
a lot going on. Yeah, they've got like scenes with green and scenes with red, and then they had that scene in the club where they have like the waterfall. And then, like,
that was cool.
And flashing lights, and then...
Yeah, very visually stimulating, but, like, not in, like, a bad way.
And,
like it's
even the stuff on the streets was, like, really well lit. Like, even though it was kind of, like, supposed to be more natural lighting, like... I don't know, they did a lot of really cool things to make... Because I think you have to, with a movie that... is really just fight scene after... I mean, the whole 3 hours, apart from, like, some downtime, is basically just John Wick killing people. And so you have to do things to make it more interesting. Otherwise, it's the same fight over and over and over. But they...
Yeah, so you gotta, like, find different locations.
Yeah, like, they do... They change the locations, they change the lighting, they change... Like, each scene has a different, like, weapon, which is crazy. Like, he has his pistol or whatever, his gun... And then, but it like,
they switch up the weapons though. You're right.
But then
right.
they're like, oh, here's a nunchuck. Oh, and then here, why don't you use this motorcycle as a weapon? But then also we're going to have you drive a car and like,
well, you can really feel like the influence of like video games where it's like, you can't, where like in a lot of action games, it's like you have so many different weapons and you'll run out of bullets in one weapon. But then like your person you just killed will have like, they were using a shotgun. You're like, okay, cool. I'll just use this. Or like you only have like the knife you picked up from like the kitchen and like you have one health bar and you're like, well, I guess I got to try to kill this guy with a knife because I literally have nothing else. Like they find really creative ways to have him kill people, I guess, or like have him fight, and they don't just give him the same weapons or make him, I don't know, the have only the same moves. Like he knows a lot of different things. With the fight scenes too, I really liked how, I don't know if this is controversial, I think at least for the third one, when he falls off the roof in the third one, I think that did not work because that was the first time they had really established like, okay, John Wick literally can't die unless he's like shot in the head. You know, it was a little abrupt. This movie, I'm glad at least it was pretty consistent where there are multiple times where he should die and he doesn't. So it at least feels like...
Yeah, he fell from like 40 feet multiple times.
Oh, yes. He gets hit by cars like 25 times. My guy, like, it's rough for him. But I feel like it worked in this one and it made it feel more like a mythological, like, kind of story rather than it was trying to be something really gritty and realistic. Like if they're gonna go for that, I think that's fine, and I think this movie did that better than the other ones where it's like obviously the only, and it's basically I think most of the same rules for everyone. Like not many people really die from like falling or getting hit by cars. Most people only die in the movie from like getting killed by someone else, like getting shot by someone else or getting stabbed or whatever. So it's pretty consistent rules. And I think that kind of made it more interesting because it just made it feel more epic and like, okay, I feel like I can suspend my disbelief a little more. And then those cool fight scenes can be even cooler because I'm not always thinking super hard about how gravity works or how like many bullets are left in the gun. I don't know. I think that was also pretty key because like you said, they do have to up the game. And to do that though, you have to start to suspend your disbelief. And so since they kept it consistent, I think it helped that. Trying to think, what did you think of like the, I feel like this was the most, I don't know, story driven one for me. Cause everyone else, I feel like the villains were kind of I don't know, pretty one layer and they were pretty, clearly just like there cause they needed a villain. But in this one, I thought there was a lot more side characters that really kind of fleshed out the story, and in my opinion, like I said, they were the ones that made the story more interesting, more than like just John Wick being there.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked a lot of the side characters in this one. I think I like that obviously like we have the manager, and then it kind of like establishes Lawrence Fishburne's character, the king guy.
Yeah, he's always good.
And so it, like, brings in these other, like, friends of John's. And we kind of, I feel like it helps give us more to John, because at this point it's kind of like, I mean, he's sort of this, like, god, basically, this legend in this universe, that it kind of grounds him a little bit more to, like, know that he has friends, or, like, people that would be friends to him. Instead of him just being like, you know what I mean? And like, he would have died if it weren't for, Donnie Yen's Kane, even though he's kind of like an anti-hero type. Kind of stuck in the same, like trying to get his freedom and stuff. And then obviously you have like Bill Skarsgård's, like the main villain. And then it's kind of crazy because you have like all these little minor villains of, like, kind of, like, the people that he has to fight and, like, the mob boss or whatever. I don't know. Like, there's these...
Yeah, the mob boss guy, like, Kingpin, basically, but not Kingpin.
Yeah, like, you have these little ones, and then you kind of have
mini bosses, as they're called in video
games.
Yeah, like they're like
mini
bosses.
Yeah, the marquee, but then even above that, like he's fighting against the table, the high table, basically.
It's like in Super Mario Brothers, you know, you have like Bowser's kids you have to fight. So you gotta get through all the Bowser's kids before you could get to Bowser, exactly.
Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know, all these other side characters in this one, I felt like gave us a lot more depth to the world, too, because you kind of like, through Kane's character, you sort of see how the world doesn't, like, how it affects other people, too. And then, obviously, with Shamir Anderson's new character, who is great, by the way. I thought that he was incredible in this. And he, I don't know if that's, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but I thought that he was really, really good in this. And I don't know, I just appreciated the way that they wrote the side characters, because I think it just added a lot more depth to the movie that we needed in this one to keep it going.
Yeah. I think, like I said, the side characters made it. We're not referencing any of his politics or like things outside of the movie. Donnie Yen acted Keanu Reeves off the screen in this movie. Keanu Reeves, like,
I mean, we've already established that Keanu Reeves
got
is not
punched
an actor.
The only, it's just like, I felt like he was the best part of any of the four movies that I've seen. I thought his character was so good, and it was like the only emotion I felt in a movie was with his character. Like,
he's,
I loved
really
like
good.
The end. I just thought that his character made the movie, and like you said, it didn't, and not only like made me more invested, but then it in turn made John Wick at least a better character, like by correlation, because you felt like he had more of a backstory. And then even with the other guy that was like the Chinese, the one in Japan, that one, like I forgot his name, but that guy, like you met him and you got like to know like the inner workings of the friendship. And I kind of liked too how it wasn't super fleshed out, like they didn't explain everything, but you could tell there was like some like history there. And it deepened that character by just having them there. Yeah, and like Bill Skarsgård is great at being a scary villain. He's just like, that's kind of what he's made to do, I think.
He's good in pretty much anything he does. He's a great character actor.
And he's great at like making you hate him too. He can be
really
so annoying.
Well, and it's like I love the villains that are like, they, you know that they're cowards. Like they would
like
never get their hands
wimps.
Dirty and like they're a baby, but then they just get mad. He's perfect. He did that so well in this. Yeah, I will say I don't fully understand his place in, like, I don't
know. I don't know who he is or like
there's a lot I didn't understand about like where he stands with the high table, but I kind of was like, I don't really care. Like, it works fine whether or not I know you know what's going on totally with the lore. But yeah, I mean, everything else added to, it's all those things combined that make this movie what it is. Like, if this was just another John Wick movie with him running around, killing all the bad guys, then, like, it would be whatever. But the fact that it included all these extra elements that gave it more depth or more emotion, I think, is what really sold this movie for me.
Yeah, I agree. It was those, like, added elements that we didn't see in the first one or the second or the third. Like, because those ones were primarily, like, John Wick and then, like, the side characters we had established, like, the Winston, like, the hotel manager, the concierge, and, like, a couple other people. And then, like, for all the three movies, it was, like, just these people that were kind of obviously disposable. In this one, they felt much more, like, threatening and real. Maybe because, like I said, there was a sense of finality to the whole movie. Not just, like, the third act, but the whole movie feels, I think, a lot more, like, high stakes. And like, okay, this is really it. Because every movie has felt like just like him trying to be done. And like, he has one more thing. It's like, oh, I just got to finish this thing. Then I'll be done. And then he like gets deeper and like, so this was the first movie where I felt like, okay, this is basically, it can't get worse for John Wick than this. Like, this is the final. This is the worst it could be. And so I think that also helped give it a little more momentum throughout the movie. Even though, like I said, there were some times I got a little bored. Some of the fight scenes, even though I think they're cool, like, I just sit there and I watch. I'm like, yeah, nice punch. That was That must have hurt right there. I don't know. I can't. I would have. I think that this movie could have been like 20 minutes shorter, and I would have liked it more. But like I said, still the best one in my opinion. We should maybe go to some spoilers so then we can talk about the ending, because there was a lot. I think the third act is like the best part for me. All right, so let's go to a quick ad break, and then we'll talk about the third act of John Wick 4, which would make it the 12th act of the saga.
And we're back.
All right, where would we say, third act starts when
I would say
they put like the bounty on his head?
Yeah, like I would say it starts that with the night scene, like where it has that needle drop with the radio.
That was so cool. That radio thing with her.
The radio was a great addition. And then when they first did it, I was like, oh shit, here we go, because he's like in the street and everyone's there. I don't know, like it's cool. I would say that's where the third act starts, is that whole car sequence on the street leading to the motorcycle, leading to the stairs, to the final duel would be the like.
Is the aerial shots also in the third act, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because he goes into that like building.
Right. That was awesome, like we said. And I like, too, we haven't really said it, we didn't really say this, but I like, too, how it kind of had a purpose, because there's a lot of people in the building, so I think it helps us to see that aerially, I don't know. Like, it's just, because I think it's interesting to see, like, the tactics of, like, what he's doing, and then how they're, like, approaching him, and how he's, like, reading their movements, like, he knows that they're going to be coming from this way. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it gives you a different appreciation than when you're just on the ground with him, like, because you can, like, see. It's like watching like a football play when they when they show replays from the sky, like you can see everything a lot more clearly. I don't know. And then the stairs were pretty cool. I think he could have fallen down a few less stairs. Like the joke went on a little long. I was like, all right, I get it. Lots of stairs. But I felt that was what I was like. If he has to fall down this many stairs, because it feels like it's a long time to be falling downstairs right now for me.
Sure. I suppose.
I don't know.
So
that was one note I had. There was just a lot. It was a lot of falling. But I liked when the guy came and helped him. And I also kind of thought it was interesting through the whole movie with him and then the tracker character, like they both don't want other people to kill him, so then they can kill him to get like the money or to get what they want. Because that was like the whole premise of like the scene of them at the casino or the club, right? Because like they all wanted to kill him, but they didn't want anyone else to kill him. So like he's helping him get up the stairs, but only so then he can kill him when they get up the stairs so he can like save his daughter. So it's like it's like kind of interesting how they play
with those
things.
Right. And even with Tracker,
bit.
I mean, obviously the whole movie, he's kind of chasing him down and has his own motivations. And he's really cool. His shift was kind of when John Wick saved his dog, which I thought was great.
Of course.
Because
we love the dog.
Well, because
motif
I was
returning.
Like, John Wick is not going to let this dog die. Like, I was worried the dog was going to die, but I was like, John Wick won't let it happen. He will not let another man's dog die. Not when all this started.
Well, that's what it was.
Because of his
dog.
And so that was kind of what, I guess, I don't know. I hope that Tracker, like, it's hard to see what the future of the franchise is, which we'll talk about, but I hope that he is taking over the franchise. It seemed like maybe that's what they were setting up, possibly.
Yeah, maybe him and then the other,
the girl, the concierge,
the girl
from
the
Osaka hotel. Yeah, I mean, I would be totally fine with that. I would watch more movies with both of them because they both killed it. But yeah, it was really interesting to see the different motivations of the characters, because at this point, like, I don't know, it was interesting to see that like Tracker was kind of in this world but not really, and then like he's kind of a ghost in the world too, and then like when he kind of gets sucked in, it's like, oh no, but like you're in it now. And so he then kind of has the same cost where these other guys have been in it forever and all they want is to get out, but Tracker kind of like sells himself to do
The dream. Well, it's interesting because he has a different vibe than everyone else. It feels more like he's like a contractor. Mm-hmm. Where, like, he feels like a normal person, and then this is just like his like freelance job. So I think it's like an interesting, it's a very different type of character than everyone else who feels like they know all of these different names, and they always are like name dropping and like talking about all these different things. And he's just like, he wants to get in, get the money, and then go. Like, so it definitely is a different type of character, which I think is refreshing. So it's like a less lore, more just like, oh yeah, this guy's relatable. He just wants to help his dog and get his money and then get out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think now at this point, like, he was at that duel, so it probably, if he's going to continue, he's going to have some deeper role in the thing. We'll probably get like a thing with him and the hotel manager, like he'll talk to him afterwards or something, I don't know. What did you think about the climax, like the shootout? I thought it was really cool to end it in like the Western shootout, because the whole idea of the series is such like a combination of like Eastern and Western like fighting styles. So like you have like the martial arts, but then you also have a lot of the roots in like American Westerns. So I thought it was a really cool way of like tying both those things together, especially musically, and then like the way they shot it with them each on the side of the screen. What do you think about like that, having the final climax be like not really like a big choreographed fight scene?
Yeah, I mean, I like it better. Like, I think it helps like scale it down too, because obviously the whole movie has been so intense and meticulously choreographed, and there's like a bajillion bad guys being killed, that I think it definitely helps to like narrow in the moment by making it more like small, which I think was a very good decision.
I agree.
Because I think if it had been a huge battle or whatever, it wouldn't have had the same impact that it had, because you kind of are like, can John Wick die? You're like thinking that,
yeah,
when you get
at this
there
point.
Is you're like, because up to this point you're like, this dude isn't gonna die, there's no way. But then when you get to that kind of more intimate setting and you have someone who's as formidable as Kane versus John Wick, you're kind of like, wait a second. Like, what is actually going to happen here? Because this is more like, like there's skill involved in the duel, but also it's kind of like just whoever shoots first. So there's, it's not as much like, if John Wick is fighting someone hand to hand, you're like, well, obviously John Wick is going to like snap his neck. But, like, what about when it's not like that? So, I don't know. I just felt like this, it raised the stakes doing it that way, like, by a lot.
Yes, I agree. I think it was also interesting, good, because it was something we hadn't seen before. So, it was, like, it felt less familiar, because at this point, we've seen four movies of John Wick fighting hordes of bad guys, and we basically know how it's going to go, usually. So, yeah, it's definitely less familiar. It feels a lot more up to chance, for sure. Did you see the final, I guess you could call it a twist, I don't know, like coming of him? I mean, I knew that obviously they weren't, like, he was gonna win in some way, even if he died. But did you see like that, like when he didn't shoot the bullet, did you see that coming? Because I didn't.
I did not see it
coming.
But
it was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool reveal.
It was good. Yeah, because I wasn't really sure how it was going to end, you know, because I feel like in all the other stuff, you're like, well, he's going to get out of this situation. He's going to beat all the guys. Like, and even him, like, getting up the stairs, you're like, he's cutting it close, but you know that he's going to make it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel like he's not going to make it. But in the very last one, you're like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen here. Like, I can't actually predict what the next move is. And then, so I was not expecting him to not fire the bullet. So that was fun. And then obviously you can count on the Marquis to be an idiot. But yeah, that ending was, I thought it was really great. I was very satisfied with how it ended.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think it's like, I feel like they couldn't have not had him die. I was pretty sure he was going to die, but like I said, I was also sure he was going to succeed in some way, but I didn't really see how it was going to happen. So I thought it was a very clever way of that. And also just a satisfying death for the Marquis. And they do the thing where, like, they do a really quick, like, they have the bullet go and then, like, a quick, like, shot so you could see, like, all the blood splatter and, like, him just fall on his back. Very fun. Love that for Bill Skarsgård. Great death for him. We have seen him. What was he in It Chapter 2? Was he, like, a little shriveled up, like, baby, right?
I don't even remember. It's been so long.
I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was, like, a little, like a little shriveled up clown. So, yeah, I thought it was a good ending. I still, there's a part of me, right? Well, like I said, I don't love this. Like, this is not one of my favorite franchises. There's a part of me that thinks, like, as a franchise or as a saga, is it successful if I've spent 3 hours with the main character and I don't really feel anything when he dies? That's, like, the one thing. I'm like, because I didn't feel any emotion when he died. I was like, oh, yeah. There he goes. Down and out. I don't know. It was like, I spent 7 hours with this guy, and I feel like there's not much connection I have with him dying.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I didn't really, like, it wasn't, like, sad that he died or anything, but I kind of was like, oh, cool. Like, good for him. He's free now. Like, I didn't really... Yeah, I mean...
That's true. Like, I guess maybe it wasn't a sad death.
Like, I feel like it wasn't something that was, like, an emotional... Like, I didn't feel emotional about it. But I was... Like, I acknowledged that it was a good end to the series. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I like this. Like, with the sunrise and him saying the whole thing of, you'll take me home and put this on my tombstone and all that. Like... I liked that part of it. Like, I wouldn't say it had, like, an emotional impact on me, because I'm not emotionally invested in this series by any means at all. But I appreciated it at some level.
Right. I think that's a good way of looking at it, because maybe... I don't think there's many people that probably, like, were sobbing when John Wick died, and I don't think that maybe is their intention with the series. And at this point, yeah, it's like, what would he really have to live for after this? Like, I think the only thing he really wanted was to just feel like he could
die. Like he could die. He was able to die because he had the freedom to die. Like, that's kind of what I think. Like, if he were to die and not have freedom, then he would die forever to the table. But, like, it's the fact that he had the freedom was what allowed him to die, which I think is a great ending. I am all for killing off the hero at the end of the series.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends. But, like, most of the time, I think that that is one of the best deaths that you can give to the hero, is, like, a good death at the end.
A death, like, on their terms. More,
yeah, like, a good one. It has to be, like, there's times when a character has died that I'm like, that was the dumbest shit I have ever seen in my life. But, like... I think that this really worked. I think that this was a great... I'm hoping they don't roll it back. Like, that would, like...
I would be so
mad if it was like, oh, ha-ha, gotcha, he didn't actually die. We only killed the idea of the Baba Yaga, and so everyone thinks that he's dead.
I was scared that there, like, was going to be a shot at the end of him, like, at his funeral, like, looking at, like, at a, like, hiding behind a tree.
I see the way that I see them, if they ever did this, if they did, I think that he's dead and dead for good, and that's how it should stay. He should stay in the ground. But if they did bring him back, I see him being more like a Ben Kenobi type figure.
Ah, yes, where he's, like, definitely
living in the mountains with a dog,
like his the John Wick is dead, but
yeah,
whatever.
Like, John Wick is dead, and so, like, the Baba Yaga dead,
he's gone, and
he's dead to the world, he's dead to the high table, he's dead to everyone else. But then, like, I don't know, the tracker guy, like, has to go find him for counsel. I don't know, like,
guidance,
some shit like that.
And he has a dog. Like, he has like 5 dogs or something.
Yeah, and I don't want that to be the case, but I wouldn't put it past them until I know for sure what John Wick 5 is about. I wouldn't put it past them to, like, bring John Wick back from the dead. But, like, let this poor man Keanu, like, have a break.
Let him Yeah, he did 90% of the stunts in this movie.
Give
his
body a break.
Yes.
Yeah, I overall, like, I think this really, like, this is still by no means my favorite franchise or even close to. But I think this ending and this movie, like, made the franchise as a whole better.
I agree.
Like, I think it really clinched that ending. Like, they got the bag in the end.
Yes.
Really followed it through. And I think that it definitely elevates the franchise as a whole in my mind, even though it's been, like, ages since I've seen the first three. And I probably won't ever watch them again. I wouldn't mind watching this one again.
Yeah, I feel like you could watch, like, just this one, honestly, and you could be good. You know?
Yeah.
But I do agree, like, it makes the journey feel worth it more. Because all the other three movies end on such, like, a cliffhanger. All of them, like, pick up right where the other one leaves off. So I felt like there was not a lot of reward for watching those other ones until you know where the ending is. Or, like, until you know there is, like, a final ending to it. So I agree. I think the ending, it made the movie better and also just the series better. Like, it makes me think of the series more fondly than I did previously.
Yeah.
Which I guess is, like, the best thing that they could have done.
Yeah, I agree.
Can't think of it better. Future of the franchise, like you said, there is a fifth movie, quote unquote confirmed, I guess. But obviously, we don't really know what the deal with that is right now. They had that after credits scene, which not a lot of people in my theater stayed for. I don't think they really knew there was going to be one. That has, like, Donnie Yen's character, like, going to see his daughter or whatever. But then you have the daughter of the concierge of the Osaka Continental, right? That's the word. So many words. It's like a vocab lesson. The daughter of the Osaka Continental, the concierge. She is, like, kind of going towards him to kill him because she said, like, John Wick, if you don't kill him, then I will. And that she's following through. It looks like on that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, obviously, it's hard to know what they're going to do, because obviously, is it really a John Wick movie if it's new characters? I don't know.
Like, will they have a different name, like The Continental, or like...
Well, because they were going to do The Continental show, and then there's that other, like, ballerina movie that's also in the John Wick world, whatever that is. I don't really know. But I could see...
We need like a John Wick universe, though. Like, is that really what we want?
I don't know. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. It's just hard to, like, I just hope that they don't actually, like... I don't know. I just hope that he's dead and we move on with a new
character.
Yeah,
it's hard to know how they'll brand it, you know? Like, will it be just, like, a new show? Or not a new show, like, a new series and they have a different name for it? Or, like... whatever her, I don't forgot her name, but maybe like she'll like come up with a cool like killer name now, like whatever then in quote like then like what is it called, colon, like a John Wick story, like a Star Wars story, like how are they gonna brand it to make it obvious that it's a John Wick movie if John Wick isn't in the title, you know? So it's just interesting. I don't know. I hope if they do that they kind of continue at least with a lot of the same characters, obviously adding new ones, but it'd be cool to see like,
yeah,
still feels like a high budget, like still in the series, you know, like I wouldn't want them to have all new characters and like it can be completely blank slate. It would be cool if it could feel a little connected. Yeah, there's a little bit of that connective tissue to the other one. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see, you know, the manager and Lawrence Fishburne's character, the king, like stay in a story. Like, I think both of them are interesting characters. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it will finally end in like them, like the high table, like just collapsing.
I mean, if they do another one, I'll watch it. So
yeah, I mean,
I feel
sure.
Like maybe the new guy, Mr. Nobody Tracker, and the girl, like, can team up and take down the high table together.
I'd be down. That sounds great.
I feel like
that's where they'd have to go. They'd have to go bigger. Like, it can't be... it has to be, like, taking down, like, the high table more. Like, and going up and, like, finding, like... well, I guess we know who runs it, but, like, I don't know. Because I still don't understand, like, all of how that works. Like you said with Bill Skarsgård. It's like, I don't really understand, like, the power structure and like who's giving orders as much and like what they need and how it's running the world. I don't know. It would be cool if they could just go maybe deeper on that if they do something. And maybe the show will go deeper on that too. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Obviously, they're going to make something because, like you said, it's doing pretty good at the box office, getting lots of great like critical response, which I think is good for a movie like this because I think then it will keep getting more money as it goes on. Like, I don't think it's going to die down in the box office. I think more people will either rewatch it, have people tell them that they need to see it. So I think it has a good few months here. And it doesn't seem like one that they'll want to put on streaming too early. Though, I don't know, Creed 3 did just come to streaming. So maybe they are still, people are still trying to do like quick to streaming. But I feel like they could give this like a nice theater run. Similar to like Avatar. Like it could have a good theater life. We'll see what they decide to do.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because like what else is coming out? Like the Mario movie? Like I don't know like what's coming out that is really going to like take it down in the neck in April. Unless I'm really forgetting like.
Oh, the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Honor Among Thieves. Yes. Chris Pine comes for.
I'm excited for that one.
Baba Yaga. That's good. I'm glad you're excited for it.
I think it'll be fun.
I am not. But maybe it'll be good. I don't know. It's April. Anything can happen in April. April is a weird movie month. It's like not quite the May movies yet. It's like the ones that didn't quite make the cut. But there's some cool. We've got Mario. We've got Air. Very excited for Air. I don't know if I've told anyone this, but I am. Very excited for that. So hopefully maybe some good stuff coming out. We'll actually talk about our next episode in a second. What we should probably do now, though, is say what our question of the week is. How many kills would you average a minute in a John Wick movie?
Probably zero. I would be getting killed.
I would like to watch from the beginning and see, like, how long I would survive. Or, like, watch each one. Like, how long would I survive in a John Wick movie? This movie, I would be dead right... Well, I might have just died from, like, the pain of, like, hitting that plank of wood. Mm-hmm. But realistically, I would have died because I would have fallen off that horse that he's riding in, like, the desert. I would just fallen right off. And then I would die of, like,
I could ride a horse. That I could do. I could make it past that part. Yeah, but after that, like,
well, I would have definitely died from, like, the guy in the desert. Like, he would have killed me.
I'm getting shot at while I'm on a horse... I would probably die.
Done.
But like I could get on the horse and ride the horse. But then once I'm being shot at, that's where the difference comes in.
That's when I will die. Yeah, what should question be?
Who should play the next James Bond? Shamir Anderson should be the next James Bond.
I mean, have we asked about the next James Bond yet? I don't think we have.
I don't know. I mean, this has really nothing to do with James Bond, but...
That does.
But I did think that the whole time I was watching him, I was like, why is he not the new James Bond?
I gotta say, he was a fine character. I don't think I thought he was fine. I don't know if he was very good at acting. Like, I didn't really see anything that would have been,
I mean, his character isn't, like... His character is supposed to be
To see more. Like, if he's in the next one. But then by that time, they'd probably already pick a James Bond. But, like, I would just want to see a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, his character is, like, in this is kind of, like, a subdued character. So
has he done anything else, like, that you've seen? Like, I wonder, what else has he been in?
I don't know.
Guess someone can do the research for that. What is Keanu Reeves' best role?
What is Keanu Reeves' best line?
Bill and Ted. Yeah or okay. Yeah, a poll. What is the Keanu Reeves' best line in John Wick? Yeah or okay?
Yeah. So then our question of the week is going to be, what is your favorite action franchise?
How many movies does it need to be considered a franchise? Three or four?
Three.
This would be a three? Okay.
I mean, three is a trilogy, but I think that also counts as a franchise.
Okay, so minimum three. Favorite action franchise.
Yeah. So this could be anything, really.
I feel like if you, just like legacy-wise, if you include the Creed movies too, I feel like the Rocky, like, franchise is, like, pretty cool. Because you've got a lot of different, like, you've got some really campy movies in there. You've got, like, some, like film classics, like some film history stuff. You've got Creed, which is, those movies are more modern. I feel like you get a lot of bang for your buck with the Rocky franchise. I haven't seen Fast and Furious, any of those, so
I have not either.
Mission Impossible is pretty cool. Again, some good variation. Maybe it's John Wick for some people, though. Definitely now. There's some people that love John Wick.
Well, look, I have a Mission
Impossible. There were some diehard fans.
Blu-ray right here. This is like the worst Blu-ray cover ever.
That is a bad Blu-ray cover. That's truly awful. Them putting like Blu-ray DVD digital copy on a Blu-ray case is one of the worst design decisions ever. Like, just put it on the back of the case.
Yeah.
I don't need it to say on the top, Blu-ray DVD digital copy. Like, thanks. Thanks for talent letting me know.
How many movies make a franchise? Looking to see what the criteria is. They normally have at least 3 significant films in the series.
Okay. I think 3 is good. Star Wars, I guess, would be an action franchise too.
Yeah, right? I mean, superhero, I guess, like Batman.
Yeah, I would say superhero have to be too. Like, I don't think MCU counts. I think that's
that's too broad. Counts. Like, if you said like Batman, like Nolan's Batman, that would be its own franchise.
Nolan's Batman. I guess you like, can say Burton, but because like there's only 2 of them.
Yeah, like maybe Captain America. Yeah, like something like that. Like it would have to be
the
like
DCU.
At least narrow it down if it's like in a larger, if it's a counterpart of a larger franchise, narrow it down.
Or like at least a phase of Marvel. Like don't give us all 5 phases.
Yeah, like phase 1, phase 2 rocks. But maybe not.
I like phase 3.
Phase everything 3. Pre-phase
4.
4.
Pre-4. Yeah, 4 is where it gets a little rocky. Okay, yeah. So what's your favorite action franchise? That's a cool question. For our next episode, we are going to come up with something. Mm. You know? That we're keeping it real. We've got a lot of great stuff, I think, in April and May, besides next week we have to find something, but we got a lot of cool, like the Mari movie, like I said.
Yeah, we're in a bit of a dead zone right now
starting because... like this our summer series in May, so we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. We just got to come up with, we got to brainstorm a little.
Yeah, once you get that little period in between award season and like when movies really start coming out,
yes,
there's kind of exactly. like this space in April that's sort of a dead zone of movies, so we'll see.
Right. We'll have something. You'll love it. I promise. And besides that, I don't think I have anything besides, like, you know, just listen, subscribe, share with your friends, leave a review, just call your mom. I don't know. I don't have anything else really besides that.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm okay.
And I'm yeah. And
we're your secondhand film critic.